Whether you drive a car,
need a car,
or just occasionally bum a ride with friends,
you've come to the right place.
Join Jill and Tom as they break down everything that's going on in the auto world.
New car reviews,
shopping tips,
driving green,
electric cars,
classic cars,
and plenty of great guests.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, this is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I am indeed Tom Appel. Thanks for joining us this week. When you have a chance, you know what I'm going to ask you. Check us out at Consumer Guide. While you're there, check out our 2025 Best Buy picks. Also, check out back episodes of the podcast. You can do that right there on our homepage, but you should subscribe. Right, Jill?
Absolutely.
All right. That voice is Jill Simonello, Managing Editor of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk, North American Car of the Year juror, and a freelance person.
Yes.
Same day, big deal. The Pope died.
Yes.
Mick Jagger got engaged. That could have gone either way.
Yeah.
I think the Pope was 88.
I believe you are correct on
and
that.
And I don't think he was dating.
No.
So.
I would say that's a no.
All right. We forgot to mention this last week. We're mentioning it now. Go check out the New York Auto Show.
Yeah.
On Now.
Yes. Now.
So people should check that out.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm a little bit tired, frazzled, unprepared. I moved.
Yeah.
So I'm like in complete disarray at the moment. I've been posting some pictures on Facebook as I've gotten stuff done. I'm completely done with my kitchen. I'm completely done with my bedroom. But I've started on my office. And I thought I had a lot of glassware. Damn, I have a lot of books.
Funny thing about books, I've got lots and lots and lots of books, and I don't think I've added to the library in 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't really gone back to them.
Mm.
It's a thing I need to think about.
Yeah, I'm definitely coming across some books that I was like, oh, I remember this. Oh, I really like this book. Oh, I forgot I haven't read this one. I need to come back. So, yeah. But I've right now, my office, I've got everything unboxed, and it's one big pile. It's one big messy pile.
So you moved from the Logan Square area of
yes.
Chicago to where?
Irving Park. Yes.
Which is like north.
Yes.
Okay.
It's essentially due north of where I was living in Logan Square.
All right.
Yep. So it's like 2 miles. It's not that far, but different L stop.
Shortens your commute here slightly.
It does. I got in the car today. And so usually it takes me 50 minutes to get here. And I got in the car and it said a half an hour. And I was like, what?
Really?
What voodoo magic is this?
That's a rough 2 minutes, rough 2 miles.
I know. Well, yeah, it is actually. Plus with the construction going on the Kennedy right now. So that's the outbound highway leaving the city out to the suburbs. It's two lanes from downtown all the way to where the split is. And so I was getting on like two exits earlier than where I will get on now. And that was another part of the problem.
One of the funny things about 90 is you can't do anything about 90. It's a major artery in and out of the city. And it's just two lanes because that's as big as it can get. Although when you get south of Irving Park, it widens a little bit till you get downtown.
It's two lanes, period, right now because of the construction.
Okay.
I mean, it's usually like four lanes, and now it's like two.
But if you were going to do something to ease congestion, you would need to do something to the Kennedy itself. When you take 90 out and it stops being the Kennedy and about O'Hare, there's really a toll booth there,
mm-hmm.
it opens up to like 30 lanes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to.
No. I mean, it's lovely that it does that.
Yeah.
But,
oh, yeah.
But it's painful going back into the city. Like after the show is over and I'm going back into the city, it's like, woohoo, I can go the speed limit. And then all of a sudden it's like, dead halt.
That was TARP money, if you remember that. That was federal money that came during the Great Recession after 2010. But the 90, I think that's called the Jane Addams out there,
yep.
Was widened with TARP money. And it was nice to do, but it doesn't address a problem directly.
No.
Like, well, that's not where the backup was.
No. And there's no way to really widen
it
in the city because
no
city.
I mean, you can talk about eminent domain, but you'd be moving a lot of businesses and streets, and it's not practical.
Yeah.
All right. Enough of that chatter.
Okay.
Of our very Chicago-specific whining.
Yes, sorry.
But congratulations on your move.
Thank you.
We talked a little bit about Lotus in the last couple of weeks. I can't remember when.
It's been a hot minute, but we have previously talked about Lotus, yes.
But Lotus, a British firm that has built some very cool sports cars over the years, a lot of racing engineering, they had gone racing and things, keeps changing hands.
Yeah.
And it was in the hands of Geely most recently, and Geely doesn't want it anymore. Even Geely, which seems to be able to
Even Geely does not want Lotus.
Yeah. So I wrote down some numbers here. General Motors took control of Lotus in 1986.
Okay.
And I think the most significant thing that they did together was the Magna rear reticle suspension system. So things like Magna Ride.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if General Motors or Lotus holds the patent on that.
I think it's General Motors because it still shows up in
It's in the
vehicles.
Suburban, for example, and in Cadillacs and stuff like that. But for people who don't know what that is, it's this crazy technology where the viscosity of oil in a shock absorber or damper can be varied using electrical current. It's pretty cool.
And what does that translate into for the driving experience?
It depends on the system, but usually these are almost always attached to some sort of automated driving system.
Okay.
And the computer will make decisions based on how you're driving and correct the ride dampening accordingly. So in a vehicle like the Suburban, no driver inputs. I don't even think there's drive modes for most of those vehicles. But in something sporty like the Corvette, it's also used in conjunction with drive modes.
Okay.
So Magna rear reticle, cool stuff. It was Lotus. Lotus went to some company called ACB9 Holdings in 93 to world famous Proton, Malaysian
world
car maker.
World famous.
Which is also owned by Geely, by the way, now. In 1996, they went to something called Zhejiang, which was part owned by Geely in 2017. Geely bought the whole shebang in 2021, and now Geely wants out.
Okay.
But for people who don't remember Lotus, a white Lotus Esprit showed up in two Bond films.
Okay.
For Your Eyes Only and The Spy Who Loved Me. Speaking of which, Lotus is supposed to have an electric vehicle.
Yes. One of my friends actually sent me a photo of it. It was parked in a garage. They live in Northern California, and it was parked in a parking garage somewhere there.
That's weird because it's not officially out in the U.S.
Yeah.
I just checked the EPA site. It's never been tested there. Mm-hmm. The dealerships are like coming soon.
Yeah.
So I don't know when this vehicle is supposed to be out now.
Yeah.
But it's I think it's pronounced Elatre.
Mm.
Elatre.
Mm.
I don't know. That thing. But it's a small crossover.
Yeah.
Looks good.
Yeah.
It completely destroys the Lotus brand.
Well.
Lotus was supposed to be building light sports cars.
Just like the Cayenne. Destroyed the Porsche brand. I mean,
but it so didn't.
But so maybe this won't either. Is my point.
Yes, but there was something magical. Yes, there was something magical of the way Porsche handled that.
Yeah,
like Porsche BMW handled crossovers super well.
Right.
They did that well. Lotus could.
See.
They could.
It could.
Yeah.
There's. We'll see.
Tesla has cut prices
again
on the Cybertruck.
Oh.
So they're down a bunch, $8,000 to $10,000. Plus, okay. I think we talked about the new cheap model that with destination comes in at $72,000.
Yeah.
It's called the Long Range.
Right.
Long Range.
Rear wheel drive.
Just
rear drive. Motor. Yeah.
The big Tesla news, and I don't know why I didn't think of this as big news earlier or even wonder about it.
Okay.
But Tesla market share in California.
Okay.
EV market share has slipped under 50%.
Hmm.
Interesting. I just assumed that as it slipped under 50% nationally, that would happen. But California is their biggest single market.
Yeah, like every other car you see on the road in California is a Tesla.
A lot of Model Ys out there.
Yeah.
So I don't know why that's bonus news, but everyone was covering that this week.
Hmm.
So
because everybody's covering Tesla for no reason.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, this seems like kind of a specific piece of news, but people covered it. So there you have it.
Okay.
Tesla market share is down. This is an interesting thing, and I heard this with an interview from someone from Chevrolet. I did not catch the guy's name. I should have gone back and caught it, but just a little piece of Chevy news. The Chevrolet Bolt, very well liked by the media and by owners alike.
Yes.
Bolt customers are returning to buy other Chevys at a rate of 60%.
Okay.
So that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice repeat business.
Mm-hmm.
And additionally, 83% of them are buying another EV.
Interesting.
So half the people, roughly, that bought a Chevy Bolt are coming back to Chevy for another EV. Of course, now there's an affordable Chevy EV in the lineup.
Right.
With Equinox. So that makes some sense. All right. That's the stuff I got. You went recently.
Yes.
To drive some stuff.
I did.
And you're going to tell me which car we're going to talk about this week and which car we're going to talk about next week. But there's the Sasquatch.
Yes.
Which is a fun thing, and then the Lobo.
Yes, let's talk about the Lobo.
By the way, Sasquatch and Lobo, good country band name.
Together, Sasquatch and Lobo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just two guys.
Okay.
Neither of whom shaves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of like you today.
This week.
Yeah.
I shaved recently.
I don't know. You're looking a little bit scruffy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to need to get a haircut this weekend, I think.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Which one are we talking about?
Lobo.
Lobo.
Yeah. So the Ford Maverick Lobo is a new addition trim. So they've added it to the lineup for 2025. So this is the compact unibody pickup truck from Ford with very...
Very popular.
Very popular. Very F-150-like styling. And I think they did a great job of taking like a compact truck and making it look like a real truck, because people are like, oh, unibody, ugh. Truck. It's not really a truck. And I'm like, it is. It is, but it's unibody.
The people saying that are not the people who are going to buy it.
No, exactly.
The appeal
that.
Here is like maybe my daughter.
Maybe.
Actually, because the pricing, although they've raised prices 20% since it was launched, but the pricing is still relatively, makes it still relatively accessible.
Yep.
And it's kind of sporty. It's kind of fun, but it is useful.
Yeah. So I should, before we get into the Lobo, I should say that the 2025 Maverick does get some refreshed things for this year. So a new 13.2-inch infotainment screen is standard across the board. I believe there are drive modes that are new that are across the board. There's the hybrid now comes with all-wheel drive availability, which
That's
it
nice.
Did not.
That's nice.
Previously. Now, the base price for... And the hybrid is going to be the entry into the truck lineup again.
Why do they keep flip-flopping?
I don't know, but the price is now $10,000 more, essentially, than what it was. So the hybrid for 2025 will cost you about $28,000. If you add all-wheel drive, you're looking at about $30,000.
Okay. So you can go both front and all-wheel drive with the hybrid.
Yes.
That's nice.
Yes. But the Lobo... is really an interesting vehicle, and it is what they call a street truck, and it's essentially lowered by about an inch.
Not to be confused with street corn.
No,
but
not.
But you could drive your street truck.
Both are tasty.
Yes.
Both are tasty.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Did I just write the headline of your review?
Both are tasty.
Yeah.
But the Lobo, it has the 2.0-liter EcoBoost engine, and it is it has Lobo mode, which is essentially
what
like
is
a track
that now?
Mode.
It was like 260 horse or 240, 238.
Yeah,
that sounds familiar.
That sounds right. I apologize again. My brain is like back in my office that is in disarray from the move.
Well, it's quick.
Yes, it is. It's quick, and it the overall size of the truck is small enough that feels very peppy. And in fact, Ford took us to an autocross. And so we took this truck on an autocross, and it was so much fun. You put it into Lobo mode, and you can like kind of drift through the corners. And I did okay on the autocross, but then I went for a hot lap with like a pro driver who actually knows what they're doing. And oh my gosh, it was just so much fun. And without looking in the rearview mirror and seeing the pickup truck bed, like you would not realize this is a pickup truck. It was that good. And, it drives fun. You know, it's just very car-like, but then you have the truck bed. And I believe the Lobo also has a 4K towing package available, as does the entire Maverick lineup, that you can get the higher tow rating, standard at 2,000 pounds. And they have the new... If you're familiar with Ford F-150 towing technology, they have the knob, and I think it's like tow assist maybe, where you use the knob instead of your steering wheel to kind of back up the truck to put it over the tow hitch and to back into spaces.
It is less and less necessary to be a man.
It is. And it was really funny. I was talking.
Also, I must confess, I was terrible at backing up trailers.
Oh, I'm even with the knob that like is more intuitive, I'm still pretty terrible at backing up trailers. But it's a cool little feature because, you know, previously when you're backing up to do a trailer, like you would turn right to go left.
Right.
But with this knob, you turn it right to go right. So it kind of makes it. And so you're not kind of controlling the throttle, but you use the knob to steer. And so it makes it a little bit easier, a little bit more intuitive, and that is available.
The only people left who can back up a trailer are 80. They're 80 years old.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Probably. But so a lot of cool technology available on this little truck, and I feel like the Lobo has a base price of about $36,000, and that's with the standard content. And then if you go for the high content package, which has like all the whistles and bells, you're looking at about 42.
So back to Lobo though. Mm-hmm. What makes it Lobo? What are you getting?
So lowered suspension. There's like the Lobo mode is added.
Is Lobo available with all wheel drive?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a front drive only thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it is, you get more content at the lower level, and then you can level up to all the content. But it has a different grill. It has, it's got sportier suspension, tighter steering, more sporty driving dynamics.
Do you get brakes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it better brakes. And I know I can't remember exactly what was taken from the Euro spec, the Focus ST or RS? But there's stuff.
Oh, I don't know what that's called.
Yeah, there's stuff from the European sporty hatch that is put on this truck.
Okay.
And essentially, the inspiration for this truck was they saw people kind of modifying the truck, and so they wanted to modify the truck in a way that they thought people would appreciate. And the inspiration is from the low ride trucks of the, I think it was the 80s and the 90s.
Well, low riders really, cars were a 70s thing. There's that War song. Is it War? The band War? Low Rider, which
low
is fabulous.
Rider.
That's it.
Dur.
Yeah. But it was a huge LA thing.
Yeah.
And a guy I used to work with named Harry was super into that scene and actually low rided a Catalina. Looks great.
Yeah. But at any rate, I mean, I think the truck looks good. I like the grill. I like the features. I like the amenities. Drives really well. It's fun. It handles well. And that is definitely a truck I would consider owning in the city.
So big question here, though. It starts at 36?
For the Lobo, yep.
Oh, man. Here's the thing about small pickups. And
yeah.
I maybe I've mentioned this before. Going into the 80s, but starting in the 70s, back when there were small pickups and there was the Chevy Love, the Ford Courier, trucks like that. But these were very small pickup trucks.
Okay.
Toyota sold small pickups at the time. So did Mazda and Nissan, or Datsun. But they were cheap.
Yeah.
Now, part of the reason that they were cheap, and I should say affordable, was because they were not subject to a lot of the federal rules and regulations regarding cars because they were trucks.
Right.
So they weren't crash tested, which... good or bad thing, but it did bring the price down.
Right.
And and for a while, they weren't even subject to the same emissions testing, but they were so affordable. They were so affordable. But that's, I guess you can't make a small truck affordable now.
Well, but
no more affordable than a car.
But consider the fact that the average transaction price of a new vehicle, at least as of a couple months ago, it's probably changed in the past couple of weeks, but it was $48,000.
No, it's $51,000 now.
Yeah, so...
And climbing fast.
Yeah, climbing fast. So when you think about the average transaction price is $51,000, $36,000 is still affordable.
Yeah, but we don't know what the transaction price on the Lobo is going to be either. But my point is simply is it's not entry level at 36K. I mean, the entry level keeps rising, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's entry level, but the price of entry level is rising. And, this is why, I mean, this is probably a topic for a different time. We'll have to find somebody who can talk about this. But this is why used car prices are now going to start to rise as well, because
yep.
People can't afford buying new. And so they buy used. And I mean, I'll be honest, my husband and I are a really good example of that. Like his car died on a Thursday. We needed to buy one on a Friday. And I was like, what is your requirement? And he's like, I want to spend less than $10,000. And I was like, okay, got it. So we literally looked at there. And there were like three cars we could find that were acceptable that were under $10,000. And we're just like, okay, there we go. Let's go pay cash for it.
Yeah, we got to take a break in a moment. If you know what you want to do car-wise and you want to buy something now, you mm-hmm. probably should.
Yes.
But don't rush into it if you're not prepared.
No. If you were thinking of buying in the next couple of months, now.
Yeah,
do it
if
now.
You can.
If
you've made the decision, don't drag your feet. You probably want to do it now because things are going to get weird. We should talk, too, about Mitsubishi, for example, halted all imports.
Right.
That's all they have.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to the Lobo. Cool, not cool?
Cool.
All right. On sale should be now, right?
Yeah. Imminently. I know it's on the build and price tool for the website, but I think it's a really interesting vehicle. I think that they've done some cool things to it, and it's very unique, and I'm very intrigued by it.
Yeah, it's cool. There should be a sporty version of that.
Yeah.
I think there's a market for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we should take a break. When we come back, we talk to Joel Fetter, a colleague of ours.
Yes.
About what's going on in the industry. Stick around.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom. She's Jill. Thank you for joining us today. Forgot to mention, last week, best week ever on the podcast.
And define best week ever.
Most listeners.
Okay.
So, most downloads. So, thank you, new listeners.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome.
On that note, throw me a bone.
Oh, you want to talk about social media?
Not a lot.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Okay. So, are you on Twitter or X or Blue Sky?
I am Car Guy Tom on Blue Sky and Twitter X.
Okay.
And this weekend, I had an excellent car spotter trip.
Okay.
So, for people who don't know, Saturdays, I test drive the vehicle I'm driving. I go out for a protracted drive, put some miles on it, and then I look for cars.
Okay.
And I package those together as the Saturday collection using the Car Spotter hashtag.
Okay.
Great stuff this week.
Okay.
I'm telling you. I'm not giving it away.
No, no. What was your favorite car that you saw? Just give us one.
Oh, man. I don't know. I didn't take a picture of it, but I love General Motors B-bodies. And I believe I saw like an old Impala.
Okay.
I think it was a coupe, but it was not the cool glassback coupe.
Okay.
But still.
Okay.
You have to leave Chicago and go north.
Okay. Well, actually, I would say like in Chicago, there's some interesting vehicles. I'm looking forward to being in a new neighborhood.
Okay.
And maybe seeing some new cars.
There isn't squat in my neighborhood.
Mm.
Everyone's got like a five-year-old crossover.
Oh,
so boring.
What I usually see the most interesting cars when I'm out for runs. Like, there's one park that I run around, Palmer Park, and there was like a hearse that somebody had converted into a personal car.
That's a very Chicago thing.
Yeah.
You don't see those in Palatine, Illinois.
No. So speaking of Lobo, I've seen a Ford F-150 Lobo.
Oh, have you?
Which is the Mexican version of the F-150. The Escort that I showed, or the Pinto, the wagon Pinto.
The cruising wagon.
Yeah, so I see a lot of interesting things when I'm out for my runs.
Thanks to our friend Rust, the cruising wagon is pretty rare.
Okay, yes.
All right, we should talk about something else here for a second. On the phone, our colleague Joel Fetter. Joel, how are you today?
Hi, friends. How are you?
I'm not going to speak for Jill. I'm good.
I'm tired.
Nobody speaks for Jill. I know better.
Wise. You are wise.
Joel,
nobody wants that short person with the venom.
Yeah, and she's sucking down on caffeine here, too.
I am.
She's dangerous.
My lavender latte.
Dangerous.
All right, Joel, you're up in the Twin Cities, right?
I am currently at home in the Twin Cities. First time in like 4 weeks. I swear to God, you wouldn't believe I'm unemployed. My wife is like, you're the busiest unemployed person I know. I swear I'm unemployed. It's crazy.
Well, I wanted to talk about that only briefly because it's sad industry news. But since we agreed to chat, since you agreed to be our guest, something happened to your employment situation. And if you don't mind, tell us about that because it's kind of depressing industry-wide.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll keep it brief just because nobody needs to cry and whatever. So I was a senior producer for Internet Brands Auto, specifically thecarconnection.com, lowerauthority.com, and greencarreports.com. Up until about 3 weeks ago, the sites were shut down. They went dark on April 1st.
Oh.
They do still exist. You can still go to them, as of at least right now. Look, Internet Brands was, no one left angry, we left sad. They made a business decision. They were not mean or rude. None of us got fired for cause. They made a business decision at a business level that's not editorial. And as far as they said to us, the sites will be live for an indefinite period of time, but there will be no new editorial content. So at some point, I presume they'll be wrapped into something else that Internet Brands owns, redirected. I don't know. I don't work there anymore. As of right now, the content and our stories are still live. That's the story. So currently theoretically unemployed, been very busy.
I saw that.
Contracting, consulting, freelancing.
Good.
Look, everyone's like, you should take a vacation. You should hang out. I'm like, have we met?
I know. I'm like
have we ever physically met? Like, that is, everyone's like, you should just chill. I'm like, that's not a speed I know.
That's not who I am. No.
For people who don't know.
No, not Joel.
There are days that Joel doesn't use a chair, like maybe weeks.
Yeah. Well, it was funny because offline we were talking about, like, you apparently had some conversations offline with Tom about, like, will we get to everything? And Tom's like, we never get to everything. And I'm like, I don't know. Joel talks kind of fast. We may get to everything.
Yeah, but slow down for radio because you just don't know who's listening, right?
Fair.
I mean, the best way to describe it is, I'm sure people have seen, you know, the Marvel character, the Flash. I'm kind of like that. Like, I look like I'm stationary, but I'm literally vibrating.
And then you can pass through walls, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
turns out, my two surgeries in my knee 4 years ago prove I'm not Superman.
yeah, and you can no longer...
all odds.
I was going to say, you can no longer pass through walls because of the hardware in your knee. It gets stuck.
So, Joel...
it got taken out. That was the second surgery.
Oh, that's
anyway.
Good. Okay.
Really bummed about that because you guys were cranking out some great work, and Kirk Bell and Robert Duffer have been guests on the podcast, your colleagues, and we wish them and you well. But you've been very busy, which is cool. But you went to the New York Auto Show.
I did.
I have a question for you. Ready? You like a little controversy?
I'm full answers.
All right. The new Outback, the new Subaru Outback, new for 2026. I think it's
seen
a problem.
It was there.
I think it's a problem. I think it doesn't look enough like a wagon.
So I don't know. I don't remember who follows me on Instagram. So I know Jill does. I don't know if you do. I saw it, and I posted a bunch of photos. And when I got to the back of it, I posted a photo. I think my exact caption, of course, this was a week ago and this point in my life, a day is a week. So it's been a very long time ago. But I posted something along the lines of somebody had a vision board, and they just said yes.
Oh, no.
It's a lot. Aaron Cole, who used to work on our team and now is a PR and comms at Subaru, a dear friend of mine, he and I got an argument months ago when we had spy shots, and I'm like, that ain't a wagon. Like, I've seen it, I got eyes, it ain't a wagon.
That's my
point.
And
he's like, it's a wagon. And I said, I have eyes, it's not a wagon. We were actually in the back of a Subaru Ascent, if I remember correctly, arguing about this somewhere. And he put in a note in his to-do list for last Wednesday saying, talk to Joel about Outback. And he walked to me at the show and said, so, like, showing me the notes in his phone. And I was like, I mean, I still have eyes. And he's like, and? And I'm like, look, it kind of looks like a wagon. It's the boxiest, brickiest wagon. But, like, go back to the days of even, and I don't remember actually know how old you are, Tom, so I don't know if it's, like, when you were a child or before your time, legitimately. But go back to the old... you know, Vista station wagons and the old really big bodies Ford and Country Squires and all these cars.
That old.
Okay, so you go back to that era, right, which is before my time, and those things were legitimately rolling refrigerators with them, right? And so they were, so this thing in that way reminds me of the old time wagons, and in that regard it's a wagon, right? In the wagons you and I think of today, where there's these Volvos with fast roof lines or any of the or the Buicks that we've had recently, or any modern wagon, if you will. No, it doesn't look like that. But it doesn't look full on like an SUV. It doesn't. It's just the greenhouse isn't right. It's too long to be a wagon, or to be an SUV with the greenhouse from the side view of it specifically, which I have a photo of. And so, and of course, the Wilderness version looks so much more butched up because it's taller, right? And so I think it looks like a wagon. It's been interesting to see the, but not in a wagon we all associate with Outback, to be clear.
So-
and...
So you've been talking a lot about your Instagram, and I was just going to interject quickly and say, hey, could you share your Instagram so people could go and look at these photos?
Sure.
And they can know what you're talking about.
Those photos were on my story, to be fair.
Okay.
And
well,
so they're
boo.
Long gone. Sorry. I don't know if you know this, but nobody was paying me to post them.
What kind of a journalist are you to put stuff out there that disappears? I mean, come on.
An unemployed one. So anyway...
But what is your Instagram handle so people can come
and find? My Instagram handle is at Joel Feder, J-O-E-L-F-E-D-E-R.
I would have guessed that.
Yeah, I know, right? And very creative. So, branding, kids.
Yes.
So, I think it looks like a wagon. You know, but if you look at, like, specifically I was on their booth and the Forester, and now you look at the newest Forester Wilderness, Mm-hmm. And the front of that thing is looking pretty butch, with the Subaru across the front, the plastic cladding on the front and all that. And there's no question they are going more butch. You're going after these Bronco Sport buyers. We're really leading into that. We're going on the trails and over to the trailhead motif. When I was a kid, it was a lifted station wagon at best. They had some little grill covers on the fog lights and all that stuff, but it was just a standard all-wheel drive. And we are definitely leading into the adventure-ready portion of this. Mm-hmm. And with an open differential all-wheel drive system, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'll be curious to see how sales do, but I just had one, and like the last one, over the holidays. Mm-hmm. And even my review, it remarked on the Car Connection, which it still exists for now, that this was an end of an era, and that this is the most wagon Outback will have for a while, knowing what was coming. But even that was not the same as an Outback wagon when I was a kid, or even a decade ago, or even two generations ago.
No,
the current Outback is a big car.
Yeah.
It was a legacy station wagon, just a little bit. To quote you, Joel, butched up a little bit. but that was the charm of the vehicle. Yeah, that was the charm of that vehicle, is that it was a station wagon. And for whatever reason, Subaru was a company that could sell that.
Yeah.
What was the Buick called? Was it the Regal Tour X,
I think? Yeah.
They couldn't give that away. And
no,
they tried.
I loved it.
And it was a nice car. It was a luxury, almost a luxury version of the Outback. Virgin? Version.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What kind of podcast is this?
Yeah. I know, right?
We'll edit that out in post.
No, we won't.
No, we won't.
Yeah, hopefully.
But it's strange that only Subaru seems to have the power to sell that particular combination of traits. And maybe they know. Like, we don't know that they didn't do research learning, that people have lost interest in the wagon.
You know, Subaru knows its customers.
Seemingly very well.
I mean, here's the other interesting thing to me. I mean, I was at the press conferences recently, and the Trail Seeker actually should have probably been called the Outback EV. It legitimately looks like an Outback, guys. It looks like a wagon. The wagon you think it looks like it.
We haven't talked about that yet. Tell us what that is.
For all intents and purposes, it is a Solterra, which is their EV, without the roof line it has. It has more of a wagon roof line. It definitely has a shared front end, but it has a completely different rear end clip, lighting, roof line, glass, all that.
Uh-huh.
But more importantly, it's quicker. The motors have more juice to them. The battery... I don't know the battery specifics, but it has more range, which tells me it's different chemistry. I'm not entirely sure it's a different battery. Because remember, the Solterra and the BZ4X, the Toyota Twin, had two different batteries, one from KTL and one a different brand supplier. And they had different chemistries, which led to different ranges, different battery curves for charging, different amounts, charging rates, for goodness sakes. I mean, same car with different batteries, which is just wild on the used market, I'm sure. So it is... For all intents and purposes, I don't care what they say. I can see with eyes. It's a Solterra with some modifications, but it looks like an Outback. It looks like the Outback you would have thought. Mm-hmm. If it had a Boxster 4 under the hood, you'd think it's an Outback.
Yeah, I like the look
so
a
I
lot,
think
actually.
They probably could have called it an Outback EV.
That actually might have been an interesting way to go with this.
Yeah.
It's funny because Subaru sort of...
I feel like it would have been an interesting way to go.
Subaru's backing off a little bit its relationship with Toyota in describing this vehicle.
So does this have a counterpart from Toyota?
Well, by the way... It's cute that they're doing that because, like, I have eyes and I saw the Outback, and the Outback definitely is cribbing from some parts bin in Toyota. Like, I'm pretty sure that infotainment system and volume knob are right out there in those bins.
But so does this new EV, is that shared with Toyota as well, or is this just an evolution of Solterra? Does that make sense? Because I've been in a cave the past week, so I haven't looked at anything.
Because Solterra is the BZ4X, right?
Mm-hmm.
And... this is the Solterra, which is a BZ4X, with a different roof line and all that. So the answer is yes to both.
Do you think Toyota then will come out with a different version of the BZ4X? That's
well, they got a lot of stuff coming out soonish.
They got a lot of stuff coming out. I mean, hang on. For the idea, it's hard for me to imagine Toyota is going to build this for Subaru. This is just an opinion, by the way. It's hard for me. I don't like having embargo information or whatever. It's hard for me to imagine that Toyota's going to build the Trail Seeker for Subaru and not have their own version. I can't imagine how the volume can justify it.
Right.
That said, they already have the Crown SUV. It's not an SUV. It's a wagon by ETA standards, and they already have that. And I'm not entirely sure the added cost to changing the roof line, and they also could just sell it as a Toyota EV in Europe and not sell it here. right?
True.
So the answer is, justifiably, by business case, I have a hard time imagining we don't see a Toyota version somewhere, here, Europe, whatever. On the other hand, maybe it's just expanding the Solterra BZ X4 line and Subaru eats the cost of the tooling for the extra bodywork. I don't know.
Who knows what's going on with EV development?
Imagine
they're
selling 50,000 of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Yeah. All right, Joel. Let's enough Subaru.
Yes.
Enough Subaru.
Okay.
Subaru's done. We're moving on.
All right, moving on. You wanted to talk a little bit about design trends and specifically headlight signatures. What are you thinking?
You know, it's interesting. I was walking around the auto show, and we were emailing on either the auto show day or the day after. That's why this came up in my head. It's interesting to me. Some of the EV design trends that have morphed into the gas and hybrid segment and now are spreading across the entire industry rapidly. So the reason I brought this up is specifically, for instance, the front light bar that is now seemingly a signature on all electric trucks.
Yeah.
Right?
You got this light bar that's whether it's Lightning or Silverado EV or Cybertruck or Rivian, any of these trucks, right? Now we're having these things and they're proliferating throughout gas and hybrid models. So like I'm looking at last year, we had the Hyundai Santa Fe with the brick. But now we have on the more higher-end models, there's that light that goes all the way across and it makes the H. Now we have the Palisade that debuted, or US debut, I guess you'd say, last week. And it, on higher-end models and the off-road models, not the lower-end models, it also has an LED light that goes across the entire front end and the grille and goes into the headlights. And even the new Tiguan, which the turbo model for 26 debuted last week, but the 25 debuted in LA last year, it's in the higher-end SEL R-Line models. Has the light bar that goes across all the way, and even the ID Buzz. And so it's interesting to me how some of the EV design trends are now proliferating into gas cars and SUVs. It's just fascinating.
That is actually really interesting. If you think about it, it makes some sense, right? When EVs were hotter 5 years ago and 8 years ago when the manufacturers were starting to develop EVs, they were putting more of the interesting design touches into that market. They were the more modern vehicles. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense, though. The other stuff was just getting warmed over, largely because there weren't big budgets left, right? All the money was going in EV design. And now EVs are the cutting-edge design. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I would say... Go ahead.
Another one good example I missed, I just saw it the other night, is the Hyundai Sonata refresh with the higher end models. Got the. I saw one the other night and it looked like freaking Tron coming down the road. I'm like, what is that? And then I realized because it was so far in the distance, I knew it wasn't Cybertruck because it had the wrong shape, but it was so far out I couldn't see and it's low to the road. And then as I got closer, I'm like, man, that's a new Sonata. That thing looks wild.
Yeah. No, the Sonata and the, the Kona also has the light bar. And, you know, when you talk about, like, the EV trends filtering into the gas cars, I would say that comes on the inside as well with, like, the big screens and, you know, putting everything inside a screen and the one knob to do everything, you know, volume tuning.
Well, the single screen thing driven largely by Tesla for a while, like ultra clean, ultra simple, to the point that people wanted controls back.
Right.
Like, they had to re-put the turn signal back on the stock because it was annoying customers so much.
Right.
It's interesting. It's interesting because, I mean, look, we've all driven everything, right? Or at least, I mean, I can't speak what you guys have driven. I assume you've driven a lot of things. I've driven pretty much everything. And the only guys that get this, and girls, only guys and gals get this right, in my mind, and it really pains me on one of them to say it, is Tesla, Rivian, Lucid. And just hear me out. Like, I do really like the Hyundai and Kia are augmenting with hard buttons and controls and knobs and toggles. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I love a toggle. Love a good toggle. But
don't we all?
When I find love a toggle. When I find myself in a Rivian, a Lucid, or God forbid, a Tesla, as long as it has stock and not a stupid yoke with a normal race steering ratio, because that's just
child. The yoke is troubling.
The yoke is troubling. And look, a yoke can be done right if you have a ratio that's only 180 and you only go back and forth. I've driven a Lexus prototype. It works. In a sports car on track, it works. But in a car that you have to, you know, hand over hand, it's stupid. Regardless, it doesn't bother. The only thing in a Rivian that really bothers me is I wish it kind of had a volume knob. And even then, if I'm the driver, I've got the steering wheel. It's okay.
Right.
But the thing that all three of those share that everyone else doesn't seem to get yet for some reason is a completely software-defined vehicle. And I don't mean, ooh, we can do OTAs and we can do some, like, you know, make some feature. No, it is in-house, vertical integration. These guys custom-made their stuff, and it is so good, even in a Tesla. But like the Rivian interface with the data and the actual navigation, it's not confusing. It's all organized.
All right.
Same deal on a Lucid. It works. And it works because these guys understand software. That's why it works.
And it works, too, when we're talking about these guys, and especially startups, the fact that they're not burdened by a bunch of expectation from the past.
Right.
They don't have to use stuff that was already designed. They don't have customers that have expectations moving forward. So they can do the clean sheet thing. And the clean sheet thing can be terrible or it can be spectacular. And a lot of it's been very good.
Yeah. But so like to your argument, I follow Jill on Instagram and I've seen all her rants and she and I have even gotten into arguments at bars.
We have gotten about Apple CarPlay. We have gotten into those arguments.
And I will just state that I firmly do not believe that Apple CarPlay is the future. That said, I think it's a very necessary evil because of how terrible most systems are. And the reason in instance in like, let's say, like, so like Lucid has it. But a Rivian and Tesla don't. And one of the things that they do have are native applications. So for Spotify or Apple Music user, they have native app for Spotify and Apple Music. You log into your accounts and all these things, right? And Rivian's working on a native texting interface. They've already talked to me about it, talked to Wasim about it.
Uh-huh.
And so if you have solutions that are native implemented to the system, it's okay. When you have something like Chevy's system doesn't bother me except for one thing. The streaming is awful because it doesn't have a native solution for Apple Music, right? So if someone who's using Apple Music wants to use your phone, you're using Bluetooth, but there's no interface on the screen to use it correctly.
Right.
It's just some weird folder system. And so if they had a native Apple Music, and I talked to them about this, like, and they're like, well, it takes baby steps. I'm like, yeah, but you launched it without it, right? And so I'm going to hit you on it. So if they can get there, it's just software. You can design it, whatever. I do believe that truly native systems, just like Mac OS or whatever,
yeah.
I do think that's the future, and I think that if done right, it's a great user experience.
Joel,
and you have the features you need.
Joel, we have flat run out of time. Clearly, we have to have you back on to finish this conversation.
You didn't talk fast enough.
Who could have seen that coming?
Joel, remind us how we can keep track of what you're working on.
I mean, for now, you can go to @JoelFetter on Instagram. But I have two stories live on the drive. I got a story in the Autopian.
Excellent.
I'm bobbing and weaving. I'm around.
Glad to hear it. And I'm glad you're resilient, sir, because the industry needs you. Thanks for joining us,
Thanks,
man.
Thanks, guys. Have a good rest of your week.
You
All
too.
Right. That was Joel Fetter. We're going to take a break. And when we come back,
quiz time.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com.
I'm Robert Colangelo, host of The Green Sense Show. Every week, we feature groundbreaking innovations from energy and agriculture to smart cities and sustainable transportation. We interview experts working to create a cleaner, greener future. One of my favorite segments is Green Automotive News with auto expert Tom Appel. We test drive and review the latest EVs, hybrids, and ultra-efficient cars. Visit greensenseshow.com or listen to The Green Sense Minute on 105.9 WBBM Chicago.
Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
And we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom. She's Jill.
Hi.
I still need a sedative after speaking with Joel.
I know. He's like, it's just a bottle full of energy.
But it's all good stuff.
It is.
Everything he thought about was worth sharing.
Yeah, he's a great guest. He's really good to talk to.
And
he's really entertaining to follow on social media. So
people should do that.
You should do that.
Instagram. @ Joel Fetter.
And he's on, I believe,
Feder.
Well, he may not be on X or Twitter anymore, but he was. But Instagram. Go to Instagram.
I haven't seen him on either.
Okay.
So, all right. Oh, speaking of social media.
Yes, I do that.
Uh-huh.
And I've taken a page out of Joel's book, as he said, Branding Kids. I just use my name. So, @JillSimonello. And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Blue Sky, Threads, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, I'm sure I'm missing something, but if there's a social medium out there, I'm probably on it.
You missed a few. I've got them here.
Oh, Flomax again?
Flomax,
yeah.
2chan, Denny's Grand Slam Message Board, Imodium, and Friendster.
I know what Imodium is.
Yeah.
I actually,
that's a fun site.
Just so you know, I carry that in my running pack because I knew you would want to talk about running at some point today.
I never want to talk about running.
You know what? We have special requests from viewers to talk about running.
Doesn't matter.
It does. I ran 8 miles yesterday.
I mean, once you're running, what do you talk about? You're just running. There's not, You don't make decisions while you're running.
Oh, like, I solve all of the world's crises while I'm running.
Should I go over the fire plug or around it?
I literally solve all the problems of the world while I'm running. But social media, Jill Simonello, and I use the hashtag #CarDuJour.
All right. Are you ready?
Is it quiz time?
It's quiz time.
Okay, yeah.
Today's quiz, a little topical.
Okay.
Subaru. Actually, it's Subaru exclamation point.
Okay, it's not a wagon.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 questions plus the bonus question. Okay. Bonus question always related to the topic of
always,
the day.
Always, always.
I don't know if we had a central topic today, but that's okay.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Just 5 questions about Subaru. Jill, which costs more? The Forester Touring Hybrid or the 2025 Forester Touring Hybrid or the 2025 Subaru Outback Wilderness?
Ooh. Both are pricey options.
The Touring Hybrid, the most expensive Forester.
Mm-hmm.
Wilderness, about the mid-level Outback.
And I can't remember if Outback or Forester is more expensive generally. I'm going to say Forester Hybrid.
No. Yes. No, you're correct. Forester Hybrid, $43,115. The Subaru Wilderness is $41,380. You're on the board.
Whee!
You've got 1 point. I got to write that down. 1 point.
Yay. And the rules of the game are?
You need to get 3.
Okay. And then I win.
Yes. 3 if you win.
Okay.
Which is longer, the 2025 Crosstrek or the 2025 Forester?
Ooh. Because the Crosstrek is supposed to be the smallest, which tells me you're throwing me a wrench.
Or not. No, I mean, the thing here, I think if I was questioning this, mm-hmm. it's just that sometimes small crossovers are more wagony and longer than compact crossovers, which can be kind of tidy, a little pudgy. But that may not be the case here.
Oh, you're mean.
My wife, by the way, owns a Crosstrek.
Yes.
Which now has cocoa mats in it.
Yay. Well, I'll tell you, when we were looking for used vehicles, we were looking at Crosstreks with a manual.
Not a lot of those out there.
And we couldn't find any for under $10,000.
Even when we bought our Crosstrek, the manual was limited to lower trim levels.
Yeah, but we were cool with that. Okay, Crosstrek or Forester?
Which is longer?
Crosstrek.
It is not. Yeah, 176 inches. That's a really tidy little vehicle. No mm-hmm. overhangs at all. And the Forester's 183. Both of those are pretty tidy, actually.
Okay.
All right, which weighs more? The WRX, the sporty version of the Impreza,
mm-hmm.
or the Crosstrek? Love the music.
It allows me to stall.
If you listen to early episodes of the podcast, we couldn't hear the music. It was added later.
Yeah.
So we didn't enjoy the music.
No, but now we get to enjoy it.
Yeah. Like this album, I need to download this.
You would.
No.
You have weird taste in music. Okay, what was the question again?
Which weighs more, the WRX or the Crosstrek? So the sporty version of the Impreza or the subcompact little crossovery thing that people love?
I'm going to say WRX.
Yes, it does. 3350 to 3560 versus the Crosstrek, a welterweight 3275 to 3370 pounds.
All right.
You've got 2 points.
Okay.
You need just one more to win this one.
Okay.
Where is the Forester built? Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Is it in Gunma? I think that's Gunman. Anyway, Japan or Kokomo, Indiana? The Forester.
I don't think Subaru builds anything in Kokomo.
It's actually in Lafayette next to Kokomo, but they call it the Kokomo plant.
Is Kokomo next to Lafayette?
Close enough.
I don't know. It takes me half an hour to get from Kokomo to Lafayette.
Wait, what do you mean you don't think they make it? You see the plant.
Yeah, but Kokomo is not Lafayette.
Oh, well, that's not the trick here.
Yeah, I know.
It's actually referred to as the Kokomo facility.
Yeah, I've never heard of it as the Kokomo facility.
All right, Indiana or Japan? I need an answer.
Every time I pass, they have like all of the vehicles out in front. I'm going to say Indiana.
Japan.
Ugh.
Yeah, and the Yajima plant.
Okay.
Gunma? I don't know. I may have gotten that wrong. But what they build in Indiana is the Ascent, the Crosstrek, the Legacy, and the Outback.
Okay.
So much of their stuff.
Yeah. And that's like a huge, huge property. It's on I-65 heading south. And like you pass the facility, and that like on the right side heading south, they've got like all of the vehicles lined up in front, and then you see the plant in the background.
They used to do that at the Belvedere, Illinois plant. And if you drove from Chicago to Rockford, you'd see that on the side of the road. That's a huge facility.
Yeah.
It's been underutilized for years, but they used to do a lot of small Jeeps there.
Okay.
Like the Patriot, the Compass, things like that.
Yeah.
All right. You didn't get that one.
No, I did not.
All right. I'm going to write down nothing. No thing. Two words.
No. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
How much of Subaru does Toyota own? Are you ready?
Okay.
None of it? All of it? 50% or 20%? Toyota, big company. You may have heard of it.
I'm going to say none of it.
20%.
Ugh. I knew it wasn't 50%. I knew it wasn't all of it. I was going to say either 20 or none.
No thing.
Okay, so you only have 2 points.
You only have 2 points rolling into the bonus question. You need this one. It's actually strangely topical. Did you know that Germans consume almost 7 million rabbits each year around this time of year? Happy Easter.
Okay, strangely topical. Got it. I was like, where are you? How is that topical? Got it.
All right. Which of the following is not a common breed of rabbit?
Okay.
My daughter kicked in on this one. Are you ready?
All right.
The American Fuzzy Lop, L-O-P, the Argentine Creme, the Checkered Giant, or the Cypress Woolly? I need the fake rabbit.
So I would say the second one or the last one were the ones that sound least likely to me.
The Argentine Creme. I love that one. I also love that the little accents on the E, and I didn't type that. Mm. So thank you, Word.
Mm-hmm. So say what those names are again.
The American Fuzzy Lop.
Uh-huh. I think that's real.
The Argentine. You do?
Yeah.
The Argentine Creme.
Okay.
The Checkered Giant or the Cypress Woolly. I want Cypress Woolly as my CB handle. If I get a CB radio again. I used to have one.
So I think it's either the Argentine whatever or the Cypress Woolly.
Uh-huh.
I'll go with Cypress Woolly.
You are correct. You saved yourself and won the quiz.
Mm.
All righty, there you go.
Because it makes me think of woolly mammoth.
I don't know. My daughter and I were talking about what was funny last night. And we were going through, like, you got to find a weird, obscure country and then add a really weird adjective. And that was the comedy.
Cypress Woolly.
I want to add a third word to that, though.
So when I thought of Cypress, I was thinking of the tree, not the country.
I would add like giant Cypress Willy or dwarf.
Yeah, dwarf would be good.
Something
yeah,
like that.
Like a miniature, like a mini-me.
Oh, man. We didn't get to a lot of questions with Joel, but that's the case. By the way, he did write an interesting piece for The Drive. We talked a little bit about Nissan and Honda and their failed relationship. Their courting went bad.
Yes.
But Joel wrote a piece recently, I haven't read it yet for The Drive, about the likely co-development of the next Nissan GTR.
Yes.
Their Corvette-like sports car.
Yes.
And the Acura NSX.
Yes.
Honda's Corvette-like sports car, which is a Honda in most markets outside of the U.S., but an Acura here.
Yeah.
So Joel wrote that piece. We'll link to that. He didn't get a chance to talk about it.
No. And I feel like I didn't get the chance to read it either, but I feel like I read his commentary, and I think he was saying the GTR is going to be a hybrid.
That makes sense because the Acura already is.
Yeah.
Right? So that makes some sense.
Right.
Neither of those vehicles sell in any volume. And it's interesting to me that a company in financial distress, Nissan, is still looking to and feels the need to create a halo vehicle like that. Because that got pretty expensive at the end, too. Weren't those going for about $150?
I don't even remember.
The first ones were like 80, 90 grand, but they went up in price very quickly.
Yeah, they did.
And like everything like that, there was some inrush interest. Like at first, some people were buying these things in some numbers. One of the things that's bumming me out, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, the Miata, the MX-5 Miata, is no longer selling in significant volume.
No.
And you'd hate to lose that.
Yeah.
It's the very definition of a sports car.
But we did see some good news coming out in the past week or so that the next generation of the Miata will continue to have a manual transmission.
Which is nice.
Yay.
And you wonder for how long suppliers will continue to make manual transmissions.
You know, I think I'm hoping, I'm putting it out into the universe, but I think that there is a resurgence in manual transmission driving from younger drivers. No. I think I've heard that.
There's some people who think it's cool and they're learning it. But there's no vehicles left on which to learn stick. I mean, this circle has closed in on itself.
I think if you learn, then they will build it. So
no,
bring back the manual.
They won't. It costs too much to certify. You
hashtag
have to build
give
it.
A shift.
You have to design for two drivetrains.
Give a shift.
No one's got. Yeah, I heard you. no one. It's dead.
Nope.
It's a dead. Additionally, you can't do things like autonomous driving with it or level three style. Semi-autonomous driving, and it doesn't work very well with obstacle detection. So
blah blah blah.
It's dead.
No,
it's dead. And suppliers are dropping away. So it's just not going to happen. But anyway, guess what we did?
We had a really good show. That's what we did.
Fun talking to Joel Fetter. Mm-hmm. Joel Fetter currently freelancing. Checking him out at where Instagram?
Yes,
at joelfetter.com. Yes. All right. Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Jill. Thank you to producer Randy and the good folks here at TalkZone. Let's talk more about cars again.
Next week.
Remember to check us out at consumerguide.com.
The Car Stuff Podcast is produced by J-Turn Media.
To advertise on the show, please drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.